Well, friends, today is Father's Day, but this is not a distinctly Father's Day message today. However, if you're a dad, this is definitely a message to pay attention to, and you'll find out as we get into it, because no dad wants to be foolish, and no dad wants to fail. So there are definitely some things dads can really take, but this is a general message for everyone. I want to start by asking you, what's the worst grade you ever remember getting? Whether that was in school, elementary school, or high school, or if you were in college, maybe in college. What's kind of the worst grade that you got? I'm not proud of the fact to say that I sported a couple flags in my day. I did, and in fact, I'll let you in on a secret. When I was in college, quite some time ago at Wright State University, I actually ended up on academic probation for two semesters in a row, two quarters, whatever you want, in a row. Now, before you know that happened, I was never like a great student, but I've always been a good student, an okay student, and I didn't fail. I never regularly failed at anything. I wasn't dumb. I just wasn't being a great student at the time. Now, I'm happy to at least say that my academic probation wasn't for the reason that some people's academic probations might happen in college. It wasn't because I was out partying. It wasn't because I was out blowing off classes. In fact, actually, to the contrary, it was largely because I was volunteering in a youth ministry in the church that I was a part of, and I was spending way more time helping them than I was paying attention to my schoolwork. I was doing two different nights a week, one night with the high school, another night with the middle school. I was leading two different life groups a week. I would pick up middle school kids in the morning one day a week, and we'd go to McDonald's and have breakfast and do a Bible study, and then I'd take them to school, and I would do another evening group with some college-age students. And so I was doing all good things, right? So I wasn't just screwing around. I wasn't just blowing it. I wasn't skipping work. But even though I could frame it all as good, I could frame it all as godly things, I was being foolish with my time, my efforts, and my money. I was. And I finally opened my eyes to that after the second academic probation, when I got a letter in the mail with that said that if I had another semester like that, I would get kicked out of college. So I finally got my eyes open to that. I had a sit down with a youth pastor who I was helping with, told him I got to rearrange my priorities. For now, I have to put this above this so that later I can put this above this. And I had to rearrange my priorities. I dropped from doing two groups a week to doing one group a week. I dropped from doing two life groups a group a week to doing one life group a week. And then I moved to the front of the class in every class that I had, to the very front seat, so that I would pay the best attention I could. And I'm happy to say by my senior year, I had the dean's list my entire senior year. So I turned it around. And then later in life, when I went to seminary, I was a very good student there and did well there also. Truth is that before my wake-up call, I thought I was doing good things, but overall, I was failing. I was failing, and my trail to failing was paved with a lot of foolishness and a lot of folly. We're in a summer series where we're looking at what the Bible has to tell us about some good sense for how we live our lives. And we're looking at the book of Proverbs, and today we're looking at what the Proverbs teaches us about failing with three F's. Failing with these three F's, and these three F's are fools, foolishness, and folly. Proverbs has a whole lot to say to us about these three F's, and it's very clear that fools, foolishness, and folly are three camps that you don't want to end up in, you don't want to be in. These three camps greatly inhibit the rate of your success in life. However, the good sense of God's word teaches us quite a bit about how to guard against them. These three F's are closely related to one another. In fact, they kind of bleed into each other as you look at them through the scripture and the Proverbs. But even so, we're going to take them each one at a time this morning. We'll begin with seeing what the good sense of the word has to say about fools. Now, calling someone a fool, being called a fool, that sounds pretty harsh, doesn't it? So let's start by getting a good definition of what we're talking about with fool, and then we'll see what Proverbs has to teach us about it. You can do a lot of foolish things and still not necessarily be a fool, but what is a fool? Here's a definition. A person who acts unwisely and lacks good judgment. A person who acts unwisely and lacks good judgment, and that just kind of steers their life. We're not talking about a simple bad choice. We're talking about the things that add up, making you just having bad judgment, unwise judgment on a regular basis in your life. Let's look at what some of the good sense of Scripture has to teach us about fools. And let me tell you, Proverbs has a lot to say about all three of these S's. We're only going to cover, we're covering quite a bit, but only some of what Scripture says. But here's the first thing good sense teaches us about what a fool is. Here's the first thing. They despise wisdom and knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and knowledge. Now that sounds pretty silly, doesn't it? Even unlikely that you would despise wisdom and knowledge. I mean, who wouldn't want to be wise? Who wouldn't want to know more? And yet, think about some of the decisions that you've made kind of off the cuff without seeking really any wisdom or knowledge at all. I mean, truth be told, I bet that we all make a lot of fool decisions, a lot more than we think that we do, without first vetting things out, seeking good wisdom and good knowledge. Caroline and I had an older couple that we were friends with who we once knew, and whose wisdom and knowledge we just kind of greatly respected. I mean, we really looked up to this couple. However, we were talking to them one time. We're really young in our marriage, and talking to them about some of the choices that they'd made through life. Well, actually, more particularly the choices he made that seemed far from wise in our estimation. Perhaps he was on the road to wisdom at that point, I don't know, or knowledge, or maybe he wasn't as wise as we ever thought that he was, but apparently there was a time he went looking for a car and then impulsively bought it without his wife even seeing it or agreeing on the purchase. And then there was another time he bought a house, again, without his wife ever seeing it or agreeing on it. Friends, it didn't take being married long for us to look at it and say, that's a fool's move. That's not really wise. Let's look at some of what verses that deal with fools handling wisdom and knowledge. First Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and destruction." Fools despise wisdom and destruction. The first thing that good sense teaches us is that fearing God, really revering God, is where real knowledge comes from. You can't have knowledge without finding out the fact that you're below God in this universe. And you need to look up to God, right? That's fearing God. And then it says that fools despise wisdom and instruction. In a sense, it's saying that if we reject knowledge and wisdom, then you're really rejecting God's place in your life, is what you're doing. And that's certainly being a fool. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 22 says, How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? This verse calls those who scoff knowledge, it calls them simple ones. Simple ones. Now, why would anyone want to only rely on their own knowledge and their own wisdom and scoff the help of some great minds and great hearts that are out there to offer a direction to them? It reminds me of kind of my teen and college years when I thought that I knew so much more than my parents. So you remember coming to that point? I thought that I knew so much more than my parents. Oh, how simple-minded I was, right? And once I actually got on my own and living on my own, I don't think I made any big decisions without first consulting them. Even today, I really miss the opportunity to bounce things off of my mom, who's been gone several years now. And even bouncing them off my dad isn't quite the same, because he's not quite the same as he was. But what an opportunity to get knowledge and wisdom from your parents. Proverbs 23:9 says, "Don't waste your breath on fools, for they will despise the wisest advice." The wisest advice. A person is a fool when they reject wise advice. But this verse tells us even more. It says that it's a waste of our breath to try to convince someone who's being a fool to try to get them to indeed listen to us. You've experienced this before, haven't you? Either being the one playing the fool or being the one who's trying to argue and another one who is the fool. Either place, I bet we've both been there. We've all been in both of those places at one time or another. I know for a fact that I have. Another proverb that goes right along with this is Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15, that says, "Fools think their own way is right, but the wise listen to others." You've been around people like that? I mean, talk about a frustrating conversation. Don't you hate having a conversation with someone who in their mind can never be wrong? They can never be wrong. That's just the worst, isn't it? And do you want to know the best thing to do with someone in that situation when you're in a fool's argument like that? Do you want to know? This is gold. You're going to want to write this one down, all right? Are you ready? Here's what you do when you're in an argument with somebody who can't be wrong. Are you ready? Here it is. Walk away. Walk away. Seriously. If the other person is already locked into their believing that everything they believe is right and they're not going to be open to any other possibilities, don't waste your breath. Don't waste your sense of calm in that conversation. Just walk away. Walk away from it. Friends, it is simply not good sense to not seek or to tune out wisdom and knowledge. That's not good sense. We are only being fools. Fools when we do that. The second thing good sense teaches us about fools is this. Fools, they don't receive correction. They don't receive correction. This is very similar to despising wisdom, isn't it? I mean, listen, it's a huge detriment to not receive correction. I know it can be really hard to be corrected. I sure don't like it. In fact, I hate it. I hate being told that I've got something wrong or that I'm doing something wrong. I hate it. But what's more wrong than doing something wrong is not receiving correction for doing what's wrong. That's even worse yet. You want to receive the correction. The real question is, do you want to get better in your life, or are you really content just to stay the way that you are? Some people will answer that very quickly. They'll say, yes, I'm content to stay the way I am. Like me or don't like me, I am who I am, and that's all that I am. And to that, the good sense of the Bible says this. It says, okay, then you're a fool. You're a fool. I'm not saying that to you. The Bible's saying that to you. If you won't receive correction, then you're a fool. Let's look at a couple of the Proverbs on this subject. Proverbs 17, verse 10 says, a single rebuke does more for a person of understanding than 100 lashes on the back of a fool. Than 100 lashes on the back of a fool. I mean, wow. That's a powerful verse for us to really let soak in. It's saying that you can't even beat the sense into somebody who's a fool. You can't even beat it into them. You can literally whip someone into compliance and they still won't gain nearly as much as that person who receives one rebuke. One rebuke that makes them say, you know what? You're right. You're right. I was wrong. I blew it. I received this correction. Forgive me for it. Me and my silly pride, I'm so sorry. I did get that wrong. Give me the correction. We can all agree that only a fool would take 100 lashes over one single correction, can't we? We can agree with that. Well, when we ignore correction, that's what happens. We end up getting beat up. That's what happens. We get beat up. Proverbs 14, verse 9 says, fools mock at making amends for sin, but goodwill is found among the upright. Fools mock making amends for their sins. This can be really hard. Have you ever been with a person who just doesn't just refuse correction, but they also mock the idea of making any amends for what they've done that's wrong? They won't do anything to bring any correction. It really can sting, especially if it's somebody that you know and that you love, right? It's a fool who does this. A fool. A fool. But be sure to hear the second part of this verse. If you choose, even if they're being a fool, if you choose to do what's upright, even in the midst of somebody else's foolish mockery, if you do what's right, you'll find goodwill. You will. So stick with what's right. Let's look at one more thing that good sense teaches us about fools before we go into foolishness. The last thing it teaches us about fools is they are careless in word and deed. Careless in word and deed. It doesn't take long to know when you're around someone who's unwise and lacking in judgment, because you can hear it in their talk and you can see it in their action, can't you? Look at Proverbs 10:18. Whoever conceals hatred with lying lips and spread slander is a fool. That's a word thing, isn't it? A word thing. I hate concealing. I hate lying. I hate slander, don't you? I hate it. I mean, I can hardly stomach it. But have you ever thought about this? it's so much more deadly to the one who is doing the concealing or the lying or the slandering. It's so much more deadly for them. For that person, they grow deceit and hatred in their heart. They live every day in fear. It's fear of being found out, fear of not being accepted, fear of disapproval and abandonment. And it's the fool who keeps on that deceitful road, thinking that it will lead to a liberty and happiness someday, when in reality, it just keeps winding them down further and further and further until they're left broken and they're left alone. It's a fool's heart to conceal hatred with lying lips and spreading slander. Another fool thing to do with word and deed is to stir strife and to be quick to quarrel. Look at Proverbs 20, verse 3. It is to one's honor to avoid strife, but every fool is quick to quarrel. Quick to quarrel. Anytime you find someone who likes running to fights, trying to instigate quarrels, stirring strife, you can know that they're acting out of a fool's heart. You can know that's going on. And isn't that just good sense? I mean, with all the strife that's already in our world today, what sensible person is going to do anything to try to stir more of it? Who would do that who's not being a fool? Fools also use their words to celebrate themselves. That's one thing you'll notice. Whenever you're with someone who just keeps talking about their accomplishments, all that they do, realize that you're probably in the presence of a person who's being a fool at that point. Being a fool. Listen to what Proverbs 26, verse 12 says. It says, "Do you see a person wise in their own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for them." More hope for a fool than for them. Did you catch that? This passage actually puts a boaster below a fool. Below a fool. It says a fool is in a better place than someone who looks to themselves more highly than they ought. Let's look at one more proverb on words and deeds for a fool here. It's Proverbs 10, verse 23. It says, "Doing wrong is like a joke to a fool, but wisdom is pleasure to a man of understanding." You know, there are people who are full-hearted enough that they find doing wrong just as fun. Like it's some kind of a joke. Like people who destroy somebody else's property, or who get wasted or stoned or hurt someone else for a laugh, or take what's not theirs, or just destroy another person verbally or physically. That stuff is just wrong. It's wrong, and the Bible tells us that you're a fool if you do them. You're a fool. But if you instead live in God's wisdom, you learn what real pleasure is. Real pleasure. Obviously, the Proverbs says a lot about being a fool. Let's now look at what it says about the second F of failing, foolishness. Let's start with the definition of foolish. It's pretty close to being a fool, but there's a slight difference. Here's the definition from the Merriam-Webster Dictionary. It says this: having or showing a lack of good sense, judgment, or discretion, a foolish mistake. Showing a lack of good sense, judgment, or discretion, a foolish mistake. Like I said, it's very similar to the definition of a fool, but the distinction is that a fool lives pretty much given to unwise choices and judgments. They've layered them on their lives, and they're just kind of doing that all the time. Being foolish is having a lack of good sense and discretion. And so you find yourself in foolish situations where if you would only just listen, if you'd only apply good sense to your life, you wouldn't be in those situations. You'd be somewhere else in your life. A foolish person is the one who really needs this message series the most from the Proverbs, because it teaches you the good sense to live by. And if you live by this good sense, you'll stop being foolish. So this series means a lot to you if you're making a lot of foolish choices. Let's look at what good sense shows us about the marks of foolishness. Here are the marks of foolishness. The first mark is this: broadcasting your lack of judgment. You got to share it, broadcasting. Have you noticed the foolishness that some show, how they not only lack good sense in their decisions, but they feel a need to let everybody else know about it, right? They got to let everybody else know what they're doing that's so foolish. I remember when I was in high school, another student saying to me one time after the weekend, he said, "Man, I had an amazing weekend. I had a great night last night. I went to a party and I got so wasted. It was incredible." And I said to him, "Oh, yeah, what was so incredible about it?" And he answered, "I don't know. I don't remember anything. And I said, yeah, that sounds pretty incredible to me. What an awesome weekend, man. You don't know anything about it. What a waste of your weekend. That's just foolishness. And it's broadcasting your own foolishness to others. I know that some young people today, they do something really foolish, like getting stoned, and then they broadcast their foolishness by posting it on Instagram or on TikTok or other places. I mean, really? Really? Was that foolish choice really that good? Or are you putting it out there because you're trying to convince yourself that it was better than it really was? So you got to broadcast it out there to let others know because, you know, once it was done, maybe it wasn't so hot to begin with. I was having an incredibly fun time with friends when I was in high school and college. And incredible times, great times, the best times. I would stack the times I had up with my friends against anyone. Against anyone. And you know what? We weren't using any substances at all. Unless you're talking about the caffeine from Mountain Dew. We were having the best times. And it's all about who you choose to hang out with. I mean, young people in the room, it's about who you choose to be with and the choices you make with them, because you can choose to get together with those that aren't doing the stuff that you really know you shouldn't do, and you can have the best time of your life. We did. We even had another classmate who took note of the fun that we were having, and he was doing all this party scene stuff. I don't think he said no to anything. He would try anything that was out there, but then he would find there wasn't any joy that stuck with it. He would get done, and he just wasn't happy. But he saw us having this fun without using anything, so he decided he's going to start hanging out with us. And he started hanging out with us on a regular basis. He never went back to it. He later became a Christian, actually. Has done great things. He's a great father on Father's Day today for his kids and a leader in his church. But in that day, if he hadn't made that choice, it would have led him to a whole nother place, a whole nother foolish place in life. Foolishness often makes a person want to broadcast to find an audience because the foolishness in itself isn't enough to leave you gratified. And so you search for some kind of approval. Most people that commit crimes, they never get away with it because they can't keep their mouth shut about it. They got to tell somebody. They got to let somebody know what they did because they're still looking for some kind of gratification for it. And then they let too many people know, and then the word gets out and they get busted. That's out of foolishness. Look at a couple of the Proverbs here. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 23 says, "The wise don't make a show of their knowledge, but fools broadcast their foolishness." Fools broadcast their foolishness. Proverbs 14:3 says, "A fool's proud talk becomes a rod that beats him, but the words of the wise keep them safe." This doesn't have to even be just bragging about our foolish stuff. It's foolish to brag even about righteous acts. Pride talk only beats you up. Once we get prideful about anything that we do, then it becomes foolish. A wise person knows that they don't have to do anything to bring glory to themselves, but they only want to bring glory to God. Some people really struggle with this. They may do really good things in life, but they ruin the good work they do by feeling like they got to tell everybody about it. About I did this, and I did this, and I did this, and then I did this, and I did this. That's foolish. Let God be your enough. Let Jesus be your enough. Let God and bringing glory to God be the only reward that you need. It becomes foolish when you got to brag about yourself. Here's the second mark of foolishness. Believing every word you hear and being quick to share it. That's foolishness. Believing every word you read or hear and being quick to share it. In an era of excessive fake news, friends, you'd think that everyone would have learned this lesson by now, wouldn't you? No, they haven't learned it. It's foolish to be quick to believe everything that you read and everything that you hear. I've grown so much more skeptical these days about believing almost any news that I hear. Any news that I hear, if I don't know the source that it's from or that it's a good source or multiple sources to back it, I question about everything that I hear because there's so much foolish talk out there. So many things that aren't true or completely true. I had someone a while back who told me about a prominent Christian author leader of our day and said that he'd made some major belief in theology and ideological shifts. some major shifts in his, I mean, that would make me go like, whoa, I can't even read this guy anymore. That does happen sometimes this day with some Christian leaders, and it's pretty scary when it does. But I found myself doubting this person's claim of what they learned about this person. And I said, well, where did you see this? Where did you learn about this? And the person told me it was from some article they had read. And so I later looked up the article, and sure enough, if you read just the headline, just the title of the article, you'd be like, yeah, this person's really shifted. They're really believing things differently now. But if you read the content of the article, what it actually said, you would find out that it was saying actually just the opposite, that it wasn't true. The title was placed on it to get people's attention. It was there to stir contention because many people get their news from subtitles, from titles to articles without reading and investigating the story and the content. Don't ever do that, by the way. That's foolishness, believing every word that you hear. I went back to the person who gave me this information on this Christian leader, and I said, did you actually read the article with this article, or did you just see the subtitle and presume? And the person told me, no, I didn't read the article. I just read the top, and I said, you better go back and read the article. I said, because it says something way different than the title does. And the person said, oh, I'm so sorry. I don't usually do that. I'll go back and I'll read the article. But they'd already been quick on spreading the rumor of the title of that article that wasn't true. And gossip is foolishness all by itself. What if I had been quick to share that inaccurate information that I received, and it came from a trusted person that usually I would trust who doesn't have a reputation of foolishness? What if I quickly shared that with somebody else who quickly shared that with somebody else who quickly shared that with somebody else? And then what if I found that it was true, but I told the person, the first person I told, and corrected it there, but they didn't correct it beyond there. All of a sudden, you've got a man's reputation at stake over something that was foolish and not even true to begin with. Even if I'd gone and shared it and corrected it, it would have made no difference. It was irresponsible of the news source to title the article the way that it did, but it was our own foolishness to believe whatever it is that we read and hear and then quickly share that with others. We need to know that what we're sharing is the truth. Proverbs 14:15 says, the simple believes everything, but the prudent gives thought to his steps. The wise gives thought to his steps. Proverbs 29:20 says, do you see someone who speaks in haste? There is more hope for a fool than for them. More hope for a fool. One of the big things that impacts what you believe and share has to do with those that you choose to keep company with. If you're hanging out with those who have a lot of foolish talk and that there often is not accurate talk, then you're going to pick up on that bad habit of believing everything that you hear and quickly sharing it, whether it's true or not. And that's called gossip, and gossip is sin. Listen to Proverbs 13:20. Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. If you're picking fools to hang out with, it's going to cause you harm. That's just the truth. Let's look at the third mark of foolishness. Number three, being quick to anger, slow to receive reproof. Quick to anger, slow to receive reproof. Anyone who quickly jumps in anger is being foolish. Quick anger rarely, friends, produces any kind of wisdom or anything good. It's quick anger that sends the slap of the hand. It's quick anger that sends the irretrievable, sarcastic, and biting words out of our mouths. It's quick anger that makes an irrevocable decision that impacts many. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 17 says, short-tempered people do foolish things, and schemers are hated. And it's not just jumping to anger that's foolish. It's also that hasty pushback when we get called out for doing something that's wrong. The scripture uses the word reproof for that. The word reproof. It says in Proverbs 12:1, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is stupid. Is stupid. Now, anytime the Bible uses the word stupid, that gets my attention. Because that sounds like a pretty strong statement, doesn't it? When our kids were younger, which was a while ago now, We would teach them not even to use the word stupid. We would say stupid is a bad word. And if you called somebody else stupid, it's just being really mean. But sometimes it's just poignant and true, a poignant and true word. Such is the case with hating reproof, hating correction. What is reproof? Reproof is an expression of blame, of disapproval. To be reproofed means that you screwed up somewhere, that you got something wrong and you're being called out for your mistake, so you can now do what's right. So reproof is being called for it. You've done what's wrong, so you can now do what is right. We should never want to be left in the wrong. That's just foolishness. And so we should always welcome reproof when it's called for and when it's accurate and when it's given in the right way. No one wants false blame or passing the buck, but if you're guilty of it, if you're guilty of it, own it. Own it. Believe it or not, that is just good sense. It's good sense. The truth is that the quick anger and not receiving reproof are both symptoms of a greater foolishness of not seeking to understand others and the full situation of what's going on. Real understanding often wipes out the need for both of those responses. It's foolish to only think of yourself and your part and what you're going to get out of things and not to understand the others that are involved. Look at Proverbs 18, verse 2. Fools have no interest in understanding. They only want to air their own opinions. You ever been around that before? Straightforward, quite accurate, isn't it? Some people only want to air their own opinions. They don't want to understand anybody else. It's good sense to take reproof and correction and those things. Let's move on to the last F of failing, and it's the word folly. Folly is definitely a word that we need to define a bit, isn't it? It's not a word we use real often. Well, as you likely have already picked up, all three of these are derivatives of living without good sense. They're derivatives of living without good sense. Folly is a word that kind of combines both fools and foolishness. And we'll say this about it as a definition. Here's our definition. When fools act foolish and think they won't get caught. When fools act foolish and think they won't get caught. It's like the farthest reach of foolishness to just jump in and out of foolhardy action one after another and think that you're untouchable, that it's never going to catch up with you. Well, guess what? Folly always eventually leads to failure. Always. Always. Just to go off for a minute, you can ask Eli if this is true. Eli's living in a very oppressed town right now that has a prison in it, that has a lot of, that's where he's doing ministry, that has a lot of ex-prisoners in it, and you can see the folly worn all over them. Because of all their foolish choices after another, and that folly has just built up over and over in lives, that you see them and you can see it on them, some of these people in the town. And it always catches up with you. Always does. Proverbs 14:24 shares the emptiness of folly. It says, the crown of the wise is their wealth, but the folly of fools brings folly. Now let me paraphrase that verse for you a moment so it makes more sense. Being wise will lead you to success, while living with for folly leads you to a fool's end. It leads you to a fool's end. And just do your own investigation on that, people, friends, by looking at people in the world who have come to these fool's end. It's not good. It's not good. It's hopeless. It's empty. And the temporary joy that they may think they're getting doing their foolish living is nowhere close to the impending outcome that's going to come to their lives and beyond this life. Let's quickly look at some of the places where folly leads. The first place that it leads, folly leads to deception. It leads to deception. Proverbs 14:8 says, the wisdom of the prudent is to give thought to their ways, but the folly of fools is deception. Do you ever wonder why there's so much deception in our world today? It's because there's so much folly in our world today. That's why there's so much deception. Foolish living leads you to become a liar. The two always end up going together. They ultimately do, because the acts of folly are always needing to be covered up, which leads to lying, either covered up or exposed. And most people living in folly don't want it exposed, so they do everything they can do to cover it up, and that leads to lying. The thing that those people, that those living in folly often don't realize at first is that they're only deceiving themselves the most. Often the lying to others and themselves gets so bad that there becomes this struggle to even know what truth is. They cross a line in their folly and lying that now they don't remember what real truth is. And they're lying to you to cover themselves, and they don't even know where the truth lies any longer. Eventually that happens. Friends, lying is a vicious lair. You think that you're getting away with something, but while it's just pulling you to an ultimate destruction. The reason this is always true is because the devil is the father of lies. He's lied since the beginning, and he always lies. And when we lie, we're partnering with him. When we lie, we're actually partnering with the devil. His only plan for you is to destroy you. The fun of your folly will one day leave, and you're left only with that destruction, trying to pick up the pieces, because that lying partners with the devil. The second place folly leads is this: folly leads to danger. It leads to danger. You've heard the phrase before, if you play with fire, you're going to get burned. Well, friends, this phrase is just as true. When you engage in folly, you and others will get hurt. They will get hurt. It's the nature of foolishness. If there wasn't that possibility of anybody getting hurt, of you not getting hurt, then what would make it foolish, right? Why would it be foolish? That's not to say that if you think you're getting away with it for a while, then it's not really folly, because you'll never get away with it forever. What it's saying is if it really isn't harmful in any way to you or anybody else, has no potential of being harmful, then it's probably not folly. But real full-hearted, foolish folly is dangerous, and it eventually gets you hurt. Proverbs 17:12 says, "Better to meet a bear robbed of her cubs than a fool bent on folly." A bear robbed of her cubs. We went to the Smoky Mountains one time, and we were there. We were talking to a park ranger about the black bears in the area, and there was a mama bear who had been in the area with her cubs nearby. And he said, black bears aren't usually very aggressive unless they're confronted, but if you get between a mama and her cubs, you're going to be in trouble. He said, that bear will likely rip you apart. This proverb says that you have better luck with that mama bear than choosing the bent of living in folly. Better luck against a mama bear between her and her cubs than choosing to live a life of folly. You and others will get hurt. They will get hurt. I heard once of two boys who were camping in a cave. It was nighttime, and they both just got snug in their sleeping bags, getting ready to go to sleep, and all of a sudden they hear the growl of a bear behind them in the cave. Well, those two boys moved quicker than fire. Got out of their sleeping bags. One of them just took off running. And then he looks back, and the other boy's quick as he can, sitting there putting on his shoes. And the boy running said, what are you doing? You can't put your shoes on. You got to outrun that bear. You got to go. And the boy, putting on the shoes, replied, I don't need to outrun that bear. I need to outrun you. If I outrun you, the bear's got his dinner, so I'm good, right? Friends, shoes or no shoes, no one outruns the wrath of folly. No one outruns it forever. No one. No one outruns it forever. Folly leads to deception, that leads to danger, and the final place it leads, get this, you're not going to believe you're hearing this on a Sunday morning, but it leads to dog vomit. It does. It leads to dog vomit. You're probably saying, what? Did I just hear you correctly? Listen to Proverbs chapter 26, verse 11. As a dog returns to its vomit, so fools repeat their folly. That's a serious serious passage there, friends. As a dog returns to its vomit, so fools repeat their folly. We have a dog with a very sensitive stomach, and I hate when she gets into something she shouldn't be into, because you know what that means, right? You know what that means, and if our dog tosses her cookies and we don't get there to clean it up before she does, guess what? She's going to take care of that for us. It's gross, but that's just what they do, right? That's what they do. And it's what a lot of foolish people do with their folly. Folly eventually leads them to a pile of barf. And they say, I'll never do it again. I'll never do it again. And a couple days later, the next weekend, there they are, right back to the barf, right back to doing the thing that's only leading to the distaste in their life, the thing that leads them to have to throw up everything. And it happens over and over. Now, listen to me closely. Listen to me closely, especially if you're in that cycle. You are not a dog. Hear me again. You are not a dog. You are not a dog. So get off of your fours. Stop returning to that vomit and stand up and do what's right. Don't return to the folly. Break away, walk away, never return again. Change the crowd you're with if that's what you got to do. But don't keep returning to that folly because it will rip you apart. You won't survive it. You may think, but I'm the one that will. Or you may think, I don't really care because the folly's too much fun. It's not going to stay that fun. Go meet some of those guys in Kentucky where Eli is right now who have these tattooed tears on next to their eye because that marks that they were in prison, who are missing teeth and whose skin's complexion's changed from all the drugs they've had. Folly will rip you apart. Leave the vomit and go another way. Friends, here's the thing. Being a fool, foolishness and folly will ruin you. And God has made you for so much more. So much more. So much more than that. He wants you to know that and that's why he gives us so much good sense in his word for how we're supposed to live. So leave all the folly and seek instead these F's. These three F's are the ones that will help you pass in life. These are the ones that get you the A's. Seek these instead. God's favor, fortune, and freedom. God's favor, fortune, and freedom. Those are three F's that never fail. Let's pray together. God, we live in a foolish world. We live in a world where not only are people living in folly and making foolishness their choice, not only that, but they're lifting that folly and foolish choices up to say, this is the right way to live. This is what's true. And that's why the world is falling apart. That's why our own country is in turmoil, because we're living at the wisdom of the world, which is foolish. God, get us off of our fours. We are not dogs. We are men and women of God, created for a purpose, created by the Creator who breathed his own breath into our nostrils when we were born, that we would live in relationship with God and live in a way that brings him glory, not in the way that just destroys this temple of ourselves that he's made. God, help us to choose to run from fools, foolishness, and folly, and to run straight in to your favor, your fortune, and your freedom. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, that needs to be a constant prayer for us, that God would take away those distracting things, those foolish things, because as soon as you walk out that door today, it's going to smack you in the face, because the foolishness is all around us. And so we just got to keep asking God, focus me in on what is true. Focus me in on your son, Jesus. Focus me in on your word. Reading the Proverbs every day is a great place to start. It has wisdom upon wisdom upon wisdom for your life. But friends, we can do this, and God is working in us, and it's great to be able to be his. Pray that you have a blessed week this week. They are tearing down decorations starting tomorrow evening at 6. I'm sure that they would be foolish to turn away your help. So if you'd like to come help them do that, it's going to take a while, and they could use it. So tomorrow at 6 if you're able. Have a great week. God bless you.